Thank you, Brother Ken. Thank you, praise team. Hello? How y'all is? What'd you do with the other people? Be still in my heart. It's David and Mary. Oh, I'm free. I can preach now. Just had to drain the christening pond a little bit. There's always a reason for everything. And the sooner you find the reason that things are occurring, the quicker you can take authority and victory over them. Last night I kept waking up with pain in my back. Now I know that I don't like pain, and when it occurs, I turn it off, but when you're asleep, it just sneaks up on you. And I would be resting, and I'd start to turn to the bed, and I got this pain in my back. And I'd wake up, and I'd move around and go right back to sleep, and I'd get this pain again. This morning, I got up, and I was standing in front of the mirror, and I was observing a little ton of hairs coming out my face. And my wife said, "You got these little circles all over your back." Well, I am a thirsty, y'all can go ahead and start putting the notes out. I'm a very thirsty person, and those of you who know me know I keep a glass of mineral water with me all the time. Day and night I'm drinking. Well, last night, every night on my nightstand before I go to bed, I check to make sure there's at least two bottles of water on the nightstand, because I wake up during the night dry and want to have a drink. Well, last night I got a drink and I lost the cap off the bottle of water. And it was in the bed, and every time I rolled the wrong way, I got these little tiny circles all over my back. Now, if I'd have been more alert, I would have turned the light on and tried to see why I was getting these little pains in my back. But sometimes it's the simplest thing. But if we are not aware of what it is, you wake up in the morning and going, "Doggone, it didn't take long to sleep last night. I felt like I kept waking up all night." I want to talk to you about the secret today. And Holly was kind enough to decipher my hieroglyphics and put it on the board so you could read it. And we'll be talking about this sometime before the day is over. We're going to have to break for lunch and come back to that, but we'll get there. But if you'll get this secret down today, it will change your thinking, and you can get rid of that little thing that keeps bugging you here and there. For some people, it's financial. For some people, it's emotional. For some people, it's spiritual. For some people, it's their physical arena. But there's little things that bug you, and if you just get rid of them, you can go ahead and get a good night's sleep. Do you know the secret that leads to success in life? Well, Pastor, there's many secrets that lead to success in life. No. There is only one secret that leads to true success in life, not in living. Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. "I know how to get along with humble means, and also know how to live in prosperity." What is he saying? There is a secret that if you lay hold of it, makes you invincible to whether you have or don't have, whether you can or you can't, whether it's working or not working. It makes you invincible to it because this secret empowers your ability. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and of going hungry. Well, most people know the secret of going hungry. But do you know the secret of being filled? Both of having abundance and of suffering need. What is he saying? There's a secret that makes me impervious to either one. I'm not influenced by abundance, and I'm not influenced by lack, because I know they are all subject to change. And it is this secret that empowers me to, having done all to stand, I can stand, knowing that I will prevail in either circumstance. Well, Pastor, you know, if I could get into that abundance thing, I wouldn't have any more problems. Most of the people who have abundance have more problems than the people who don't, because it creates more problems for you. You don't believe that abundance is a problem? Hit the lottery and see how many relatives you can find overnight. No, you don't have to see. They will find you. Are you listening all the time? Friday night, it was late, and we went, after we left the new cottage, we stopped by the Olive Garden to get something to eat, but there's 400,000 people standing in the parking lot. So we went across the street to the Macaroni Grill and had a late supper. And when I went to pay the bill, I had this funny feeling. But I put the plastic down, and Kyle, the waiter, left, and after an interminable time, I mean, I went to the restroom, I came back, I'm sitting around waiting, finally my check comes back, and I signed it and left. I had this funny feeling. This morning, I turn on my phone, and Chase Bank tells me that somebody tried to buy $109.63 worth of iTunes with my credit card. And they said, "Did you make that purchase?" And I said, "No." And they said, "We'll temporarily suspend your account, and we'll stop the drawing, and we'll give you a call." Why did that happen? Because the monitoring service that monitors my credit card said he don't do iTunes all the time, especially not $109 worth, and so it's suspicious. Why was it suspicious? It wasn't a part of my established are you listening? The devil is constantly looking for ways to attack you, and he always comes with something that's not a part of your established behavior. If you go back to that truth that you know, you can escape those things that would try to ensnare you and entrap you. Because you've got somebody that's monitoring your life much closer than Chase. The secret is the foundation on which Philippians 4:13 is built. So in that 12th verse, he says there's a secret. And that secret allows me to do what I do in verse 13. I can do all things through the anointed Redeemer and his anointing, which infuses me with divine ability. And John, the writer, writes to us and says, "You shall come to know in intimate personal revelation the truth. And the truth you know in intimate personal revelation will liberate you from every attack in that arena." When you know the truth about health, sickness can't be a threat to you any longer. Oh, it'll come. It'll knock at the door. It'll yell. It'll scream. But you're not subject to it anymore, because you know the truth is, with his stripes I were healed. Therefore, I'm not the sick trying to get well. I'm the healed, and the devil is trying to steal my blood-bought health. When he comes with poverty, you know, can't do it, because my God supplies all of my need according to the living standard of heaven. Therefore, I have more than it will ever be demanded of me. But you've got to push it, church. You've got to stretch yourself and reach out there into it. You don't just float along in life and go, you know, come see, come sigh. No. Come truth, nothing else can stand. If I turn loose of the truth, anything can destroy me. You know, every year people die of fright. Not hammers, not screwdrivers, not drunk drivers, not bullets, not fright. Something happens and it scares them so bad, their heart stops. Their brain shuts down. I was walking the halls of St. David's one day and the surgeon pulled me to the side and he said, "It so blesses me just seeing you walking around because there's no medical reason you should be alive." But he said, "This week I had two patients die and there was no physical reason for them to die. They just quit living." Now, we get excited about the fact that you can live when there's no medical reason for you to survive. But dear Lord, think of the captivity that people are dying for no physical reason. They gave up. Truth known and held to firmly will liberate you from everything that would try and steal from you in that arena. I hold to the truth that with his stripes I was healed. I hold to the truth that my God supplies all my needs. I hold to the truth that he will never leave me nor forsake me. I hold to the truth that he is faithful when I am faithless. Therefore, I'm liberated from fear, from worry, from torment. And people come to me and say, "Aren't you worried?" No, I know the truth. But they don't get it because they've never gotten hold of the truth. And people think you're speaking a foreign language. Well, actually you are. Belief is a foreign language in a world of disbelief. Truth is a foreign language in the White House. Are in politics at any realm. Truth is a foreign language. You speak the truth and they go, "Huh? What poll did you get that from? What sensitivity group gave you that information?" No, the truth liberates you wherever you are in whatever you're doing. And when you understand that God's word is not a book that I sometimes look at, it is a guide that tells me how to be free from worry, from fear, from doubt, from sickness, from disease. Oh, they will come because in the world you will have tribulation. But in that same world, you can be of good cheer because he overcame the world for you. Yeah. The Lord woke me this morning and I sent out a word to those who have requested to be on the Word of the Day list. I paid a bill for you that you did not possess the ability to pay. And I went, "Oh yes, salvation." He said, "No, no, no. Health, wealth, joy, peace, security." I can be secure in the truth that I know, and that's why it doesn't matter what the world is doing. It don't affect me. I have to let it in for it to affect me. You shall know the truth, and you'll trust that truth because you know it is truth. And the truth that you trust will liberate you from all assailants and all attacks and all assaults against that truth. You're looking at the board and you see something that you don't normally expect on Sunday morning. It's kind of like the Sunday we were at church and Dan Henning's daughter stood up to sing an inspirational hymn. And as soon as she started, "At Last" by Etta James, I felt spiritually lifted. Might have been the wrong spirit, but I was loving it. You don't come to church expecting to find out about Superman, but the Lord dealt with me on this morning. Well, Pastor Jim, what does Superman have to do with me? Well, I'll tell you, me, you. I'm saying you can say me. But Superman is of another world. Can you say me too?
Yes.
He was sent to this world on a mission by his father. He has powers that are not of this world. Are you beginning to get it, church? He is subject to a substance that is foreign to his world that renders his powers useless. Now, those of you who... K-R-Y-P-T-O-N-I-T-E. Is that substance that was foreign to his world and renders him powerless in this world. What about you? What is your kryptonite? Unbelief renders your powers useless. He has gifts that are a natural part of his world. Super strength, supervision, all of that. There was a part of life in his world, but down here, you have the same thing. You have superpowers that you can draw on that are not of this world. But there's something that is of this world that is not of the world you're from, that cripples you, that blinds you, that defeats you. As a believer, you are disempowered by unbelief, but you are empowered by trusting in the truth you have from the Father who sent you to this world on a mission to overcome this world. You are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. But when we start thinking, I'm only human, I'm just a man, then you're dead in the water. Because your kryptonite has destroyed your truth. What is the secret of not being moved by lack or by abundance? Or of being pressured by hunger, or by being overtaken by fully supplied. The secret is knowing truth over facts. You see, there's a language that's of this world. It's called unbelief. There's a language that's of the world we came from. It's called truth. God said. This is not the Word of God. This contains the Word of God. It also contains the words of the devil. It contains the words of unbelief. It contains the words of agnostics and atheists. But it has within it the words from God. When you pull the words from God out from the words of others, you stand strong in that word. And every promise that it made to you. Understand this, and please listen. Doubt is the believer's kryptonite. It will cripple you. It's not natural to the world we're from. Therefore, it should not be natural to us. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Yes, Brother Jim, I'd like to have grace and peace multiplied to me. How do I get that? In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Not knowledge about, but knowledge of. You see, some people said God was this and God was that. Some people said Jesus was this and Jesus was that. But Jesus narrowed it down to us where we could get a hold of it, and this would change us. Napoleon said, who do you say that I am? Well, you're God. No, that's too vague, too nebulous. In fact, a whole lot of power is robbed from your life when you think of him as God. Because there's many gods. But there's only one Jehovah, Lord of hosts. There are many people claiming to be the Christ, the Anointed One. But there is only one who was and is and forever shall be. Eternally changeless. What is grace? We can just let it fly with casualness. Well, it's unmerited favor. But what is it really? If you're before the court and you beg the court's grace, what are you asking them to do? The law says guilty. But you ask for grace. What is grace? An overriding power that changes the law on your behalf. Do you ever think about grace that way? I deserve hell. But by his grace, the law of guilty is overridden. I deserve for God to never speak to me because I was born and conceived in iniquity. I came into the earth filthy. And by law, I don't stand a chance. But by grace, I've been graduated into his presence. Grace is not some small thing. It is the power of God to override what you deserve. Even sometimes what you've earned. What is peace? When you're in the presence of the Lord, there's peace. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and there's peace. The presence of the Lord are multiplied to you in abundance as you grow in personal, intimate knowledge of the Lord. What is the difference between knowing the Lord or knowing about the Lord? Knowing the Lord, you come to an intimate revelation of who he is to you, for you, through you, and with you. But there are dope-dealing murderers who know about God. In fact, most of the really evil people you meet have a knowledge of God. They just reject it. Second Peter 1:3, seeing that his divine power has already granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. What is the secret of tapping in to everything? And you shall know the truth, and the truth that you know in intimate personal revelation will liberate you from sickness, from poverty, from fear, from doubt, from judgment. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. You see, a lot of people have been deceived, and they think because they got saved, they got everything. But how many times have you heard stories of people who were saved and then the craft they were saved on sank? How many people have been saved from freezing icy waters and then died of hypothermia? They were saved from the freezing water, but they died anyway. I don't want to be saved. I want to be born again, because born again means I'm different than what I was. I'm not what I was just with a free pass. And as I grow in true knowledge, why does it say true knowledge? Because knowledge isn't truth until you've proved it. A lot of people are running around blathering about science this, science that. And because people don't ask the questions, we have lies being foisted on us like global warming. There is no such thing as global warming. And week before last, over 3,300 scientists signed a paper saying that global warming is a hoax perpetrated on the American public by rich people to control your actions, what you buy, what you sell, where you live, what you do, to bring about one world government. Because if they can get the whole world united under global warming, then it doesn't matter what all the other laws are, they don't apply anymore, because we're all under another law. I'm under a law, the law of life in Christ Jesus, which makes me exempt from the law of sin and death. But for it to be science, it has to be replicatable. If you come up with a hypothesis or a theory, the only way it becomes science is if you can do it and then do it again. Once could be an accident or a fluke, but if you do the same thing again and again, now it's science, because it is provable through practice. The truth that I hold has been proven through practice. That's why I said, in the world you will have tribulation. You have to prove the truth that you know. So having done all to stand in that truth, then stand in that truth, knowing it works. Not, I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to pray, but if he doesn't do something by the first, I'm going to the bank. No. You see, when it's true, there is no plan B. There is no exception. There is no alternative. You shall know the truth, and the truth that you know in intimate personal revelation liberates you from the lies that would zap your strength through unbelief. Recognizing that his power, Ephesians 3:20, the power that works within us, his new covenant words to us, has granted already to us everything that pertains to life in God, comes to us through the true knowledge of the pure word of truth, of him who invited us to himself by his own glory and excellence. I was invited to be a part of the kingdom so I could prove the kingdom is superior to the world. How do I prove the kingdom is superior to the world? I encounter opportunities to be broke, but I refuse to be moved by it, because the truth says he supplies all my needs. I encounter opportunities to be sick, but I refuse to be bound by the sickness, because his word has set me free. You are standing on a dividing line between two worlds, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And you make the decision of what you will allow in your world and what you won't. I will not allow a lie to stand in my world. I can't afford to. It will zap my strength. It will destroy me. If I can be destroyed by fear, then I can be built up by faith. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Here the psalmist instructs his mind, the soulish realm, to bless the Lord and to draw upon all that is in him. What is in you? David said, thy word have I hidden in my heart so that I might sin against thee. I don't want to sin against thee. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. What does that mean? Well, I hid his word so I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't date girls who do. No. Thy word have I hid in my heart and I don't sin against you by allowing unbelief to steal what belongs to me. The devil's kryptonite will never defeat me because his truth has set me free. The secret is what you know of our Lord and his truth and faithfulness, not what you know about, but what you know of. A lot of people know about Richard Sanders, or at least they think they know about Richard Sanders. But Michelle Sanders knows of Richard because she eats with him, she sleeps with him, she talks with him, she jerks his chain once in a while. What you know about Richard is nothing compared to what she knows of Richard. Because they have an intimacy of relationship. Do you know about the Lord or do you know the Lord? You see, religion is when you get just enough of God to be exempt from being used of God. I don't take flu shots because more than half of the people who take flu shots get the flu. Why? Because they're giving you a little bit of the disease so your system can build up antibodies. But who is to say how much is enough and how much is not enough? And so one person takes a shot and they say, well, I'm free from the flu, and 2 months later, they're in the hospital with the flu. Why? One dose doesn't fit all. That's about. True and imminent, you have to get a blood test and find out what you're composed of and what you need to get an accurate vaccine. So we have religion, which teaches you about God, and we have the believer's life who learns of God. If you know enough about God to be dangerous, then most of all you're dangerous to yourself. But you see, when I have that secret of knowing the Lord, of his truth and of his faithfulness, I have a hope that's based on a knowledge of his workings, what he said and what he does. I have a faith that's a true trust in him and the word that I've laid hold of. I have love flowing from what he has done for me, that I cannot deny him and what he has done. And I have anticipation of what he has promised because time and time again, he has proven, just like true science, that what he says works. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as Gentiles also walk. He said, don't behave in life the way unregenerate people behave. They're operating the futility of their mind. Well, I think, I feel, I need, I want. They are darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. What is ignorance? A lack of knowledge. What is stupid? Knowing the knowledge but not accepting it. There's no cure for stupid, but there is a cure for ignorance. You can learn what God is, what God has, what God does. And then if you don't apply it, you're stupid. Darkened in their understanding because they're excluded from the life of God. Why are they excluded from the life that God would willingly and freely provide for them? Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. Well, you can't tell me that. I know better. Oh, when did you create the world? When did you speak the stars in existence? And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. Yes, Pastor Jim, that's that money-hungry people. No, there are people that are greedy for feeling better, so they take drugs. Greedy for feeling better, so they take alcohol. Greedy for feeling better, so they get laid. And they are driven by their passions, not steered by truth. But you did not learn Christ by the flesh, by encounter, by being a part of the world system. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, the Redeemer, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self that was driven by sensual desires and fleshly passions, which being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. Pastor, what does it mean, the lusts of deceit? It means that you're blinded thinking that another toke will make you better. Alcoholics always think that things will be better if I can just get drunk enough. But then when they sober up, it's worse than it was before they got drunk. You see, anything you turn to that's not of truth dissipates you. It doesn't embolden you. It doesn't empower you. It drains you. So you can chase money. You can chase women. You can chase men. You can chase substances. But you'll always be worse because of it, because they can't liberate you. They can exclude you for a moment of time. You can get so drunk out of your mind you don't care, but then when you come down, now you've got more problems than you had before you went up. And in the world, every escalator you get on does have a down cycle. In God, it only goes one way, up. That in reference to your former manner of life, lay aside the old self, the way you used to do things, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How do I get renewed in the spirit of my mind? I replace ignorance with truth. I replace dismal unbelief with a true trust in his faithfulness. And that you put on the new self, your Superman self that's empowered by the Word and allows you to draw on powers from the world you came from, not the world in which you abide. And put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness and truth. The secret that our writer was talking about is the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding you have of what the kingdom of God is and what it provides and what it empowers. With his stripes, I am healed. With his word, I prevail. In his truth, I stand erect. In his ability, I overcome the enemy. In the word, I find my escape. in the Word, I find my graduation from mere humanity into superpowers. I can do all things, Brother John, through the anointing that infuses me with divine ability. And Ken, the anointing is released by the truth I seize and lay hold of. Milk the Word. Milk the Word. Drain every bit of power and truth from it until you are so filled with it that you're impervious to all the worldly assaults that would come against you, mentally, spiritually, physically, financially. When you start looking at God said as your secret weapon, as your secret power, as your secret authority, then you can be what you've never been. You can do what you've never done. You can go where you've never been. And you can do it with joy. With joy, I draw out of the well of salvation. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, so sickness can't defeat me. So lies can't defeat me. So fear can't overcome me. Church, begin to find what God has promised you. I told you, there's hundreds of promises in just the new covenant that belong to you, that make you exempt from the powers of this world, that allow you to draw on the power of the world you're from to overcome the world you're in, to live in life as kings and priests unto God. Are you getting anything today, church? David told you a mouthful when he said, Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. He wasn't saying, I've learned the Ten Commandments, because they're not a part of your life. He wasn't saying, I've hidden your word concerning smoking and drinking and carousing. No, no. I've hidden your word in my heart that says Goliath can't whip me. The lion can't overpower me. The bear can't take me. Life can't defeat me. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Because I draw on the power of my Father who sent me to this world, I am greater than this world. Say that with me. I am. Greater than this world, by the power of his word, which he sent to me to empower me to overcome this world. Father, we've delivered your word and we've brought your truth to your people. The people of House Lord Fellowship Church are rising up in the power of your word and of your authority. You have deputized them to represent you in the earth, to rule and reign as kings and priests unto God. I pastor the wealthiest group of people in the wealthiest church the world has ever known, not just financially, but mentally, spiritually, physically, emotionally, in every realm of their life, empowered by the truth of it is written, they overcome, they prevail, and the enemy touches them not. And the people said, Amen. You're loved, you're blessed, go with God. Watch out for bottle caps in the night.